The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. Today's show is in response to the most recent news regarding the Supreme Court opinion that was leaked. And friends, we have, by the grace of God, two fabulous guests for today's show. One is Mary Catherine Hodes. Mary Catherine is a Harvard Law School graduate, wife and mother of seven, and she is a special counsel for the St. Thomas More Society. So she'll be giving us, you know, a summary of what's going on with this present situation and just giving us a rough idea of what the lay of the land is with that. And then in addition, we have His Excellency Bishop Robert Joseph Herman, who's the Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus of St. Louis. And His Excellency, he'll help us with the tools we need to be victorious, you know, in this spiritual battle that surrounds us. There's a real fallout from evil in all ways. And so, anyway, I think that we're approaching a really beautiful show. In the landscape of our present culture, we have a lot of noise, a lot of anger, and a lot of destruction. And particularly, His Excellency will share that path to peace and victory. So God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. And we're going to begin with Mary Catherine. And what a joy it is to welcome you, Mary Catherine, to Catholic Radio and The Splendor of You.
Thank you, Debbie, and it's an honor to be here.
You said something that I loved. You said, basically, look at Debbie, how are we any different now, today, than we were a couple of days ago? What's the difference? So I'm now asking you that, because I loved it when you said it to me. Where are we now compared to where we were a couple of days ago before this leak, you know, regarding the Supreme Court and pro-life opinion before it came out?
Sure. Well, I mean, the answer legally is we're in exactly the same place. We're all waiting for a decision on the status of this law in Mississippi. And legally, what we received on the internet the other day is really not meaningful at all until it becomes an actual decision of the court. Now, culturally, I would say we as pro-lifers do have, especially now that they've confirmed that it is an actual draft that was leaked, we as pro-lifers do have reason for hope. But that's all we have is increased reason for hope, which hopefully we were hoping and praying before we ever got this decision. And then I think we also have reason for fear and prayer. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not, you know, not to be deterred in our hope, but that, you know, the motives behind this leak are unclear. Mm-hmm. And the consequences on the hearts and souls of other people, you know, it may have a hopeful effect on us, but it could have a really negative effect on others. And that could even be what's intended by the leak. Is to influence people to increase pressure on the justices that we're considering deciding in this way. And so, you know, we have reason to fear for them, and we have reason to pray for them, increased reason to pray for them, even while we, you know, read the opinion and are hopeful that what's in there might be what comes as a decision.
Mary Catherine, if this were to go into law, I'm just wondering, you know, in a nutshell, what happens next? How does this all work? You know,
I think to answer that question, Debbie, which is, I think it's a very misunderstood answer.
Mm-hmm.
If what we see in this opinion, which is, you know, we could get a decision that has different reasoning, but if the reasoning of this decision became the law, then we would go back to a pre-Roe world. Mm-hmm. But of course, with this 50-year scar intervening, right, in our immediate past. But what it means to go back to a pre-Roe world is not a world where abortion is illegal. And a lot of people don't understand that because the pro-life movement and the abortion have focused so vociferously on Roe versus Wade. And there's a lot of good reasons for that. But it's not because Roe versus Wade is the reason that we have abortion. Mm-hmm. Okay, in our country. The fact is, when Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, 30 states had total bans on abortion, but But 20 states already allowed abortion in various stages of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And the real difference between the day before Roe versus Wade was decided and the day after is that states were free to have those bans, mm-hmm. that those 50 states mm-hmm. had the freedom to decide what the law would be in their state. Mm-hmm. So moving forward 50 years, our 50 state legislatures and all the well-meaning pro-life people in all of our states have had our hands tied. Mm-hmm. We have not been able to pass laws to protect babies in the earlier stages of pregnancy. We've had serious limitations on the laws that we could pass to protect any babies mm-hmm. during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We saw this endless cycle of, will this hold up? Will this hold up, right? Mm-hmm. Each state legislature where you had active pro-life movement would pass something, and then we'd all have to wait with our breath held to see what happened when someone challenged it in federal court, because there was always the question, would this hold up under Roe? Mm-hmm. And there are many, many, many laws, like the one in Mississippi, that would never even have been passed because it's clear it would not hold up under Roe. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole world of protection for unborn children that has not been available to us at the state level. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so where we go if a decision overturning Roe and Casey altogether, like the opinion that we saw the other day, where we go if that becomes the law of the land, then all our hands are freed up in all the 50 states and in the national legislature to pass any restriction on abortion that has a rational basis. Mm-hmm. Now, what that could look like is an open question, 50 open questions, actually, 51 if you count the D.C., and then there's mm-hmm. the federal government. But we already know plenty of people have seen this coming. Right. And yes. So we already have in, for instance, it's 13 or 14 state legislatures. They're already in place things called trigger bans. All right. And these are just state laws, some of them pre-existing Roe, mm-hmm. that ban abortion in the case that they are triggered by Roe versus Wade being overturned. So they are laws that exist on the books that will come into effect mm-hmm. banning abortion once they are permitted by mm-hmm. by the reversal of Roe versus Wade. So as an instantaneous, there's some intermediate steps there. The governor would have to recognize the law, et cetera, in a lot of places. But for instance, in Missouri, as soon as Roe versus Wade is reversed, right now, today, the state legislature is considering a resolution to put in place a letter that will go to the reviser of statutes that, because if this happens in the summer, it will happen when the state legislature is not in session. Mm-hmm. They want to have something in place that the instant Roe versus Wade is reversed, the letter goes to the reviser of statutes, and this law they have long passed, has passed in the case of Roe versus Wade being reversed, becomes law, and all abortion is banned in Missouri.
Wow.
There are 14 states that have something like that in place. On the other hand, there, unfortunately, I think in the draft opinion, it says 17 states where the opposite has happened, where there have been movements to enshrine abortion rights in state law or in the state constitution. Mm-hmm. Movement toward that are successfully doing that, making it a provision of the state constitution, so that those state legislatures will continue to not be free to legislate limitations on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? On the state
yes.
level, they have a constitutional level, and there have been states where, states are free to put abortion into their own constitution. But what we would have achieved, though, is the knowledge that there is no federal constitutional right to abortion.
Yeah, it's not a hammer that will knock the states out for what they may want to do with regard to defending the unborn and their mothers. Is there any thought you want to leave with our listeners at this point? You've given us so much to think about, and I'm so grateful to our Lord for allowing this opportunity for me to get a chance to talk with you and for our listeners to hear you. But any thought in closing that you'd want to share with us that you haven't shared thus far?
Well, just a sense of solidarity with the people who are reading this, and just we've wanted to hope for so long, and I don't know, there are probably others out like me who have not allowed myself to hope, even even hearing the wonderful arguments in Dobbs and even knowing, you know, how the court has changed, I have not allowed myself even
a minute.
I pray, but I have not allowed myself to attach to the idea that this could be such a shift. And so while I don't want people to overestimate what, you know, Roe v. Wade overturned, you know, the next day you're going to wake up, it's going to feel the same, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want people to be disappointed as if, you know, this is the greatest thing. But I myself have, especially as a lawyer, have shrunk from really giving this a lot of my attention and hope. And so I just have a lot of solidarity with people who are read this opinion, and it's going to be harder in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Having read this opinion, having digested it, having seen it's so validating of all the things that I've been hearing out of people's mouths since before I could walk.
Yeah, got it.
And to read it is such a relief. It's like being told you've been right, the sky is blue. And
mm-hmm.
people have been telling you it's purple and that you're stupid for thinking it's purple and that you're mean for thinking it's purple for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone says, no, you're right, it is blue.
Yeah.
It's a relief. And so just the solidarity with people who feel that relief, but also just encouragement that people, we are not there. This is a draft. This could easily be turned into a dissent. Please keep praying.
We just have to keep
storming
heaven.
Especially for the Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
For if they were disposed to make this kind of decision, that nothing about this, I think really, I don't know how to describe this blip where we get this leak as anything but potentially evil, right?
Yeah, diabolical.
That this information may not mislead us, may not make us complacent, and may not, and that we may rise to this occasion to really double down in our prayer efforts and in our support for our Supreme Court justices, and then just to try to summon Christian charity in all the ways that this could now go.
Oh, Mary Catherine, thank you so much. As you were just saying, I'm looking at a picture. It's Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's the Blessed Mother, and of course,
I have her on my shirt.
And girl, and she's stepping. In fact, the little plastic statue in front of me at our studio, she's stepping. She's stepping on the serpent's head. So we will just keep invoking Our Lady and our Father God in the name of Jesus to continue this battle for life. Praise and thank Jesus for you. Mary Catherine, this has been awesome. God bless you. Thanks for taking the time. And
of course.
I've got a feeling you might have a few things to do between your work at Thomas More and your seven kids and your spouse and life. So God bless you. You're marvelous. Thank you for being on The Splendor of You. Thanks, Mary Catherine.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
I'm so blessed and honored that we have with us today His Excellency Bishop Robert Joseph Herman. Bishop Herman is the Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus of St. Louis, and His Excellency is going to help us, you know, to really unpack the beautiful tools that Holy Mother Church gives us in being victorious in spiritual battles that may surround us. And at this time, as we were saying earlier, in our culture, we've really are seeing a lot of fallout of evil. And so what a blessing it is to have you with us, Bishop Herman. I'm so grateful. You said yes to this at the very last minute, and I'm beyond grateful. So welcome to Catholic Radio and to The Splendor of You.
Thank you very much, Debbie, for having me. And we now have the hope that that law will be overturned.
Yes.
And so as I look at this, I just think, what a privilege it has been for people who are pro-life people, with, no matter what their denomination is. What a privilege it's been that we have had the opportunity to give witness to Jesus Christ as the Lord of life. And I say today is a happy day because the apostles rejoiced that they had an opportunity to suffer for the sake of the name. And we've had years of this. But we should rejoice tremendously.
You're right, Bishop. And of course, this came down in January 22nd, 1973. You know, when I was praying, actually, I was blessed to be able to be at Adoration. And I was praying about this and the work that you do, the beautiful work that you do. And I came across the Ephesians. It came in my mind, for our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Your Excellency, I would suppose that what we're looking at now is a fallout of evil and spiritual battle going on in our culture. Do you agree with that at this present time?
Most certainly, and I think the letter to the Ephesians spells it out. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. It's against the devil.
Yes.
And so therefore, we have an opportunity to stand up against the forces of death and at the same time pray for the conversion of those who are promoting abortion. That is so important that we don't slip into the enemy's territory in terms of hate, but to pray for them and to intercede for them that mm-hmm. they may be converted to Jesus Christ.
Yes, Bishop Herman, help us a little more with the steps going forward. When you said that about praying for others, you know, in 1973, I was a senior in high school, and I'm a lot older now, but at that time, it was just so clear and so black and white. It remains black and white, but now, as I've gotten older and I've been out in the world at large, I've come across people who have had abortions, who suffer and struggle and may not even see that it's the evil that it is, but I see a more human face to a lot of those who have engaged in abortion. And it's just taken on more of a human dimension and the dimension of praying for others and compassion. But rather than talking about what I see, I'm just wondering for us, what is a direction that you can help us as lay people in the midst of all of this? What do we do to make sure we stand firm in the way of our Lord in the midst of a spiritual battle?
I think it's very important that we not condemn those who have had an abortion. Jesus said, "Hasn't anyone condemned her? Neither do I." And so we need to stand firm for them and tell them Jesus wants them saved and Jesus forgives them and will forget their sin. Mm-hmm. He will forget that. As far as the east is from the west and the north is from the south, I put your sins behind me and remember them no more. Whenever we meet someone who's had an abortion, we need to really push God's mercy towards them and allow them to rejoice in letting go mm-hmm. and receiving God's mercy and forgiveness. And then also, with regard to all those prominent politicians who are standing up for the death of the unborn,
yes.
we need to pray for them with compassion and just hope that they have a change of heart, that they can let go of promoting death to the unborn, and to encourage people, on the other hand, to say yes to life. And this is a great time also to renew our efforts to support those ministries in the Catholic Church that are really helping the unwed come to terms with life inside the womb. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a great opportunity for all of us to stand up against the darkness by prayer for those who are involved and also by prayer for our legislators that they may see the light. And also thank God for Supreme Court justices that have stood up against this culture of darkness. Mm-hmm. We should rejoice. We got a lot to rejoice about.
That's awesome, Bishop Herman. Bishop Herman, here I am. I'm a grandmother, you know, a mom, a wife. I mean, I'm not faced with abortion, but I'm thinking that in my life, there are those spiritual battles. So the question is now, can you help us with the ways that we come out victorious and in peace in the midst of all of that?
Yeah, one of the things I'm thinking of is, there is suffering that comes our way every day, and mm-hmm. we aren't necessarily the reason for the suffering, but what we need to do every day is what Louisa Pecoretti mm-hmm. has told us that Jesus has said, and that is to pray, "Thy kingdom come." So whatever storms come our way, we simply say, thy kingdom come. And we embrace the suffering that comes with it in union with Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's how we live through the suffering and turn the suffering into redemption.
Mm, thank you for that. That's so beautiful. Bishop Herman, thank you for your insights. I'm thinking right now that so much craziness and chaos and noise and anger surrounds us right now, and particularly since this opinion has been leaked, which is not yet law, but it's been leaked, and it looks like if this is the direction of the court, and we're seeing just complete chaos, anger, all of this. How in the midst of that, and even in the midst of our everyday world, do we as lay people trying to walk in Jesus' way, are there other ways that you can help us with what we can do to be able to continue on the path to Jesus Christ? And also, how Our Lady plays a part in all of this, her role to help us as well.
That's excellent. First of all, I think that Jesus would want us to know that every good deed we do throughout the day, God will use, Jesus will use, as intercessory prayer for others. And that is so good for us to know. And that the sufferings that come our way as a result of standing up for the good are redemptive for other people. Jesus doesn't let anything go to waste. Mm-hmm. And then as far as Mary is concerned, she's taught us the way. Fiat, let it be done to me according to thy word. So whatever suffering comes my way, whatever criticism comes my way, I rejoice that I have the chance to say with Mary and with Jesus, let it be done to me according to thy word. That always brings me peace. Let it be done to me according to thy word.
Bishop Herman, that's awesome. Let me ask you, though, in saying that, for some of us, there's a sense of fear. There's a sense of God's will is going to bring more sadness. When's the other shoe going to drop? There's a sense that can come upon us that has that sense of fear where we lack the trust we need. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Jesus said, do not be afraid. It is I.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever fear comes upon us, we should simply smile and say, Jesus, I know you're rejoicing right now that we are embracing the cross with you. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we turn this suffering into joy. Mm-hmm. We're so excited to have this privilege of witnessing to you in this dark age right now.
Praise
and
you,
so
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for that opportunity.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop Herman. You know, I'm reminded while you were speaking, I was blessed to be able to learn a great deal from you years ago. And you spoke at that time. I remember being really burdened. And this sort of this news now can, as much as it's an offer of hope, it's also a sense of where some of us could begin to feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something. I've got to do something, which the got to do something is all right. But I remember years ago, you said to me, Debbie, God's will never makes a slave out of you. Never. You said to me, that's ego. Actually, in my case, you said, that's your ego, which it was and it is. But I think that that sense, especially now when we hear this, it's like, I can go from feeling helpless to thinking I got to go do something right away to being overwhelmed and do nothing at all. So in there is, could you speak to us about that whole sense of allowing God to lead us and that idea of prayer and quiet? Can you help us with that?
Yes, that is so, so important. I remember very well Pope John 23rd. In the evening, when he went to bed, he said, Jesus, I'm tired. I need to go to bed. Since the resurrection, you don't need that sleep. So let me get my sleep tonight, and you take care of the church tonight, and I'll take care of it when I get up in the morning.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yes.
So trust that Jesus is doing his work We don't have to do anything except stand with him and speak up for him. That's all we have to do.
Thank you. Bishop Herman, thank you so much. In closing, is there any thought that you have for our listeners at this time in the midst of what we're looking at right now? Any other thought that you might have?
I just think that each of us should rejoice daily at what Jesus has done for us, taking away all of our sins. So anything we can suffer in his name is gratitude to Jesus.
So we should rejoice
in that.
Thank you. Praise our Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Bishop Herman. God bless you and much peace and good health to you. Praise God for the gift of you in our church. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie. Right.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to The Splendor of You. And special thanks as well to our guests, to our wonderful guests, Bishop Robert Joseph Herman and Mary Catherine Hodes. Special thanks to both of you for just being present to us at the last minute and giving us such beautiful, beautiful information. God bless you. So friends, thanks for listening to The Splendor of You. And that's www.splendorofyou.com. God bless you. And this next song, you're going to love it. It's Strength for the Journey. And so after listening to His Excellency and Mary Catherine, we're reminded by our Lord Jesus that He will give us the strength for the journey. God bless you. Remember, your splendor is within. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.